Welcome to Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM and WMNF.org. I'm Sean Canaan. Today we're going to continue the conversation about coronavirus. We're going to hear the latest numbers from the U.S. and Florida. They were just updated this hour. We'll talk with legal aid workers about how there's been a surge in calls from residents regarding evictions. We'll find out why that is and what can be done. Later in the show, we're going to take your calls. And before I begin, I want to mention this huge news in the world of Tampa Bay area newspapers. Janelle Irwin at Florida Politics is reporting that beginning next week, the Tampa Bay Times will only be printing a paper 2 days a week, Wednesdays and Sundays. The rest of the week will be online only. The paper is also furloughing 8 employees for 2 months. So that's something we can talk about later in the show if you want to as well. But right now I want to turn to our first guest. The legal aid organization Gulf Coast Legal Services has suspended its in-person services because of social distancing concerns. The group is still working with clients via email and phone. It's reporting an influx of calls from tenants regarding evictions. Joining us now on the phone are two staff members from Gulf Coast Legal Services. Karen Rosenkrantz is a supervising housing attorney, and Robin Stover is Deputy Director of Housing and Financial Stability Units at Gulf Coast Legal Services. Welcome to WMNF's Midpoint, Karen and Robin.
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for joining us. So one of you can answer maybe, how are the number of evictions that you're hearing about changing compared with before the coronavirus emergency?
Sure, Sean. So this is Karen. We have not seen any cessation in the amount of cases. There has been absolutely no decline that we've noticed in the filing frequency of evictions, at least in Pinellas County. What has been particularly concerning to us is all of the calls we are getting from people who are just confused with what they're supposed to be doing in the state of things.
And part of that confusion has to do with, some of the court cases, some of the courts are closed in the county and in the state. And how do you fight an eviction in the time of a pandemic?
Right. So we have had some good news, at least in on the state level, from the Florida Supreme Court. They're the head court. They govern everybody. And the Chief Justice there has instituted an administrative order. So that's not a state law. It's a procedural rule he has changed. And it applies to the very end of the eviction process. So cases can still be filed, but at least to the very end of that process where there is a writ and the sheriff serves that on our tenants, it's no longer required for the clerks of the court to issue those forthwith. And what that means is immediately. But yes, cases can still be filed, and our clients still have to put in a response within 5 days.
And can they do that with the courts being inaccessible in some cases?
Right. So in Pinellas County, it's our understanding that the tenants can still put in their answers. They can still file them at the clerk's office. There is a drop box located outside. And you can also file things online if you have email. You can set up an e-filing account. And later on, I can explain how to do that, where to do that. But that would at least stop you from having to physically walk into the court. However, if the reason you're being evicted is for non-payment of rent, which means you can't make your rent payments, you still have a requirement under Florida law. If you don't dispute the amount that's owed, you have to pay that to the clerk of court and to the court registry. And you're going to head into the court to do that in person. There is no way to do that online.
Are there any federal, state, or local laws that are protecting people from being evicted during this emergency or to give them some relief from the payments that they might owe?
Right. Well, go ahead, okay. Robin. Yeah, there's been recent movement on the federal front, and it will be very helpful to our clients. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay. Hi. Well, at any rate, we know that on March 27th, the president signed the CARES Act, and that is the federal act that is related to, obviously, the coronavirus crisis. So private landlords who own a building and do not have a federally backed mortgage, private landlords, those evictions are not controlled or not affected by the CARES Act. So there is landlords who have a mortgage on their housing unit. If they have a building that has 5 units or more, and that landlord has a mortgage on that property that is insured, guaranteed, or assisted in any way by HUD, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, the Rural Housing Voucher Program, or the Violence Against Women Act of 1994. In other words, if a landlord has a property that is somehow supplemented in any way by the federal government, then those landlords, for 120 days from the date of enactment, which was March 27th, so for 120 days, those landlords are prohibited from initiating legal action to recover possession of a rental unit related to non-payment, okay? So that is a lot of landlords who have mortgages on their properties that are guaranteed, insured, or assisted by HUD, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, or the federal government, generally speaking. So that means that these landlords, under the CARES Act, cannot initiate an eviction to recover possession for non-payment of rent. And that's 120 days from March 27th. So that's...
I guess, sir.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Well, I was just telling people that our guests are Robin Stover and Karen Rosenkrantz from Gulf Coast Legal Services, and you're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. You're listening to Midpoint, and right now we're talking about whether people are getting evicted during this pandemic. And so one of the questions that I'd like to know is, when clients are talking to you, what are their concerns? What are they saying about why they're being evicted or what their fears are?
Right. So people are really afraid. Not only are they receiving eviction complaints, but a lot of our callers are getting what's known as a non-renewal. So let's say their lease, they have a one-year lease and they're living, they pay their rent on time, but it's expiring soon during this the COVID-19 pandemic. And their landlord is saying, you know, we don't want to renew for another year. You're going to have to find another place to live. Those people are really scared, because how do they go out? You know, we have this, thank goodness, this safer at home order in effect in Pinellas County. How are they going out and looking at alternative arrangements, alternative living arrangements? So that's been very scary for them. And people who are being evicted, what we're trying to do, and also even if it's just a non-renewal, we're really trying to help people just eke out some more time so they have shelter during this pandemic.
And earlier you told us about a federal law that's going into effect that protects some tenants, but should there be other laws, or should the laws be stronger to protect tenants in this time?
Requiring a change in the law is what we have so far in Florida. Is we have a change in the rules of civil procedure that the Florida Supreme Court, the Chief Justice, has the authority to change. The Chief Justice can alter the rules of civil procedure. So just late last week, he did alter those rules, and he did say that the clerks of each county court, they may suspend issuing the writ of possession. Okay, so at this time, Florida has left it up to the individual county clerks and the individual circuits. So, but from a practical standpoint, we've seen that in Pinellas, Manatee, Sarasota, that no tenant is going to be evicted because the actual writ is not going to be issued.
Until at least April 17th, right?
Yeah.
So we have this order in effect that the it doesn't have to be served forth with any longer, and what the writ has to, doesn't have to be served forth with any longer means the clerk doesn't have to hand that writ over to the sheriff's office immediately. So the judge may still say, yes, tenant, you're evicted for not paying your rent, but the actual physical act of the sheriff serving that writ on you at home, and then you get 24 hours to get out and find a place, that's not, that doesn't have to happen. It's clerk by clerk. That doesn't have to happen the way it used to, which was immediately. It's now sort of in a this holding pattern until April 17th.
And we talked earlier about the stay-at-home orders in many of the counties around Central Florida. So keeping that in mind, what are the public health concerns to the community about how it could be affected if there's an increase in people being evicted?
Sure. Well, I mean, we're not doctors. We went to law school for a reason, probably. But just personally, I do think so that there are public health concerns related to people having to either lose their shelter, because the whole idea behind the safer at home order and what the CDC is recommending is that we self-quarantine and social distance to control the spread of the virus, and people are in, they need shelter to do that. So if they're outside looking, that puts everybody at risk in terms of the spreading the disease faster or the virus faster.
And the earlier you talked about people could, instead of going to the clerk of courts in person, there's a way to e-file. Why don't you walk through that process in case that, that some of our listeners might have to go through this either now or in the near future?
Sure. So what I really recommend is if you have access, if you're computer savvy, or if you have access to an email, you need your own email address, you can go to what's called the Pro Se e-filing website. And that is, Pro Se means on your own behalf.
And it's spelled Pinellas, P-R-O space S-E.
Yep, P-R-O-S-E. And e-filing on the for Pinellas County, at least, you can go to mypinellasclerk.org/e-filing or just go to mypinellasclerk.org. And there is a tab for e-filing, and then it explains everything, any frequently asked question you may have, and shows you how to do it. Because lawyers, we all e-file. We know how to do it. But what I recommend is that if people go there and they don't know what to do, please do call us at Gulf Coast Legal. We're happy to try to go through that process with you and help you set it up. There's also many forms online at the clerk's website. And if you wanted to fill out your own papers and you don't know how to do it, we have attorneys who can help you do that. We want to try to help as much as possible.
And what is your telephone number for people to reach out to you?
Sure. So in Pinellas County, our number is 727-821-0726. And if you live in Manatee County or Sarasota, we have a Bradenton office, and that number is 941-746-6151. And also, you can also go on our website at gulfcoastlegal.org, that's one word, and you can actually file an application if you want a one-on-one with an attorney online. And someone will get back to you as soon as possible.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint today, Karen Rosenkrantz and Robin Stover. Before I let you go, maybe I should ask you if there's anything that people should know about this process or about anything that they should know about your services or the situation, especially during this time of the coronavirus pandemic.
Yes, there is. Oh, thank you. This is
Thanks, Robin.
Sure. We have we are fully operational. Our phone system is being answered by our trained paralegals. If you call in to either one of those numbers that Karen just gave, you will go through a series of prompts. You're not going to get a live person immediately. So your job will be to go through the prompts and see which legal matter applies to you. We have services for family law. We have services for immigration, for victims of human trafficking, for people who have housing matters, and for people who have financial stability problems. That includes debt collection during this coronavirus crisis, people who are concerned about debts that may be coming in, letters they're receiving from creditors. We have services for senior citizens and others. We call those services life planning services. If seniors and others are concerned that they want to get, for example, designations of health care surrogate in place during this time in case they do fall ill, and they don't have those life planning documents designating who can make medical decisions, healthcare decisions for them if they're unable to make them themselves. We term that life planning. Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act designations that allow people to name whoever they wish to have access to their health information during this time. So we can assist with those services. We can answer. We are rapidly trying to get up to speed on filing for unemployment benefits in Florida and how the CARES Act applies to our unemployed gig workers in Florida, of which we have many. So that could be a topic for another time, because our unemployed gig workers are now having to file for unemployment, and they are protected under the CARES Act. There are workers who are protected now and who will be able to receive unemployment benefits who were not able to receive them a month ago.
Well, we could talk more about that right now if you don't mind, because that's a really important topic, especially today. There are some gig workers, the Uber Eats people, some of them are going out on strike. And so if you are someone who's in the gig economy, whether that's because you were laid off at a different job or because that's what you've been doing, what are your rights when it comes to getting unemployment compensation?
Okay, thank you. That's a good question. Part-time workers, gig workers, 1099 workers, the new CARES Act does provide for those workers to apply for unemployment benefits in the state of Florida. Now, the immediate step that they should turn to, and I'm sorry because now we're changing topics here, but give me one second here. Okay.
I just want to remind our listeners that our guests are from Gulf Coast Legal Services. We have Karen Rosenkrantz, a supervising housing attorney, and Robin Stover, Deputy Director of Housing and Financial Stability Units at Gulf Coast Legal Services. You're listening to WMNF's Midpoint Monday on 88.5 FM. My name is Sean Canan, and it's 12:25 in the afternoon. In just a few minutes, we're going to transition to telephone calls. So if you'd like to get in the queue right now, you can call us at 813-239-9663. And Robin, I believe it was, right? Did you find what you were looking for?
Not quite yet, but the idea is that, oh my God, the idea is that, let me just get get this. Here you go. Okay, yes, I did. Thank you. I'm so sorry about that. So Florida's unemployment insurance program is, it's actually now called Reemployment Assistance. And if you've lost your job, you can apply online at Connect. Okay, so you just simply type into Google Florida, State of Florida Unemployment Connect. Now, I have tried to do this yesterday and today, and the website is very, very busy. There's a lot of traffic. So that website is, you just type in Florida Department of Economic Opportunity. Okay, Florida Department of Economic Opportunity, that is the DEO. And you will be connected there. You have to acknowledge that you understand the terms of the website, and then you will go there, and you can start an online application.
And that's just one of the things I think about all of us at Gulf Coast, Sean, as attorneys, is right now, we're trying to get up to speed on every new thing that our clients could potentially be dealing with, because this came out of nowhere, this virus. And so with the housing issues, where we know about that, we've been doing that, this whole gig economy and how the laws are changing, we're getting up to speed on that right away so that we can try to help our clients as best as possible.
Yes, the CARES Act does expand like I said, the scope of individuals who are eligible for unemployment benefits. Those who are self-employed or gig workers. So in order to start that process, they must go to that website that I just mentioned. They must go to the DEO, Florida Department of Economic Opportunity. And then what you do is you go ahead and you file a new claim. Click on File a New Claim. And like I said, that website is having higher than average wait times. And sometimes it's going to take you a bit of time to get onto that link. I can tell you that there is a... The Florida Department of Economic Opportunity has suspended the requirement that you actively seek work due to the coronavirus. So you go there, you meet the eligibility requirements, you go through that whole process. It's kind of complicated, but it is available there to start. I would advise people to be careful and go through that carefully. We are actually today in the process of doing another press release on this topic.
And people can contact Gulf Coast Legal Services if you have questions. One of our listeners has emailed us and asked, if you know whether Hillsborough is going to push back the deadline for property taxes. This is a question that comes from Robin Thanota Sassa. And I have an email here from the 26th of March that says Hillsborough County tax property taxpayers get some relief, and it's from Doug Belden, the Hillsborough County tax collector, who says the executive order signed this week by Governor DeSantis provides some relief to property taxpayers, and it allows for an extension on property taxes, delaying the deadline from March 31st to April 15th. So that's a partial answer. I don't know if you can add anything more to that answer to that question.
No, that's my understanding as well.
Well, I really want to thank you for your generous time. Karen Rosenkrantz is a supervising housing attorney at Gulf Coast Legal Services, and Robin Stover is Deputy Director of Housing and Financial Stability Units at Gulf Coast Legal Services. Thanks so much for joining us on WMNF's Midpoint today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. I really appreciate your time. And you are listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. My name is Sean Canaan, and you can call in now, 813-239-9663. And I'm just going to give you some updated numbers, because the Florida Department of Health website just updated its numbers. The COVID-19 disease is still spreading exponentially in Florida. There have been 5,473 positive cases of let's see, cases of COVID-19 in the state, 63 people have died. Here's the county-by-county breakdown in the Tampa Bay area. Hillsborough, 253. Pinellas, 126 positive cases. There are 39 in Manatee, 61 in Sarasota, 18 in Charlotte. There are 38 in Pasco, 21 in Hernando, 17 in Citrus, and 55 in Polk. In the entire United States, as of this morning, the CDC says there were 122,000 positive cases with 2,100 deaths. And both of those numbers, comparing these to last Monday, up tenfold from a week ago. So the 10 times it has increased. A week ago I was reporting 201 deaths. Now it's 2,100 deaths in the U.S. So I do want to go to the phones. I'm not sure if we have any phone calls yet, but I'm just letting you know that the number is 813-239-9663. The Hillsborough County Emergency Policy Group will meet again today at 1:30. They're going to discuss continuing actions in response to the COVID-19 coronavirus. Of course, that last week they implemented a safer at home policy, just like Pinellas County did, where they're encouraging people to stay at home except for essential workers. And I'm going to read a couple more things in the news going on right now. And because I misspoke a minute ago, I mentioned Uber Eats, but it's actually Instacart workers are striking today, some of them. They're highlighting the impact that the coronavirus outbreak on the grocery delivery business. Workers are worried about their safety as they try to meet a surge in demand for online groceries. Some workers have called for a walkout today, saying they need hazard pay and protective gear, among other demands. Instacart announced some improvements to safety and its tip system yesterday. And some workers are considering the strike. Some others are saying that they just appreciate having a paying job. Also related to deliveries is that the Tampa Bay Times reported that an employee who works at an Amazon warehouse in Ruskin has tested positive for coronavirus. The company made the announcement yesterday but did not say when the person tested positive or what their role was. Amazon says they have notified employees at the site, and anyone who had close contact with the person will be asked to stay away from the building and self-quarantine for 14 days. So those are a couple of the headlines. I have some more that I can read later, but I just want to make sure that you know that you can call in or text or we have Antonio in Crystal River on the phone. Hi, Antonio.
Hey, how you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. What's on your mind?
Well, my question is, I did the whole unemployment thing. I just have some questions about I just wanted to know, is vacation time and having personal time disqualify you, or does it make it, harder for you to qualify or be eligible for unemployment benefits? That's my question. If anybody out there knows, it'd be great.
And I just want to let you know that our guests are not here anymore, so they would be able to answer you perhaps if you gave them a call, but if anyone else knows as well, I don't happen to know the answer. Sorry about that, but we'll put it out there to the community and see if they can answer your question.
Thank you.
Glad you called in, Antonio. We have Andrew from Hardy County on line 3. Hi, Andrew.
Hey, Sean. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks.
I heard your topic today at the tail end of Radioactivity, which is why I called in. And that was my first thoughts on it was, eviction equals more homeless on the street, faster spread of pandemic, plus folks moving in with senior parents moving in with their kids and grandkids, students and marginally employed uprooted suddenly, the massive surge of shelter seekers impacting immigrant and ag and construction labor, doubling up in already overcrowded housing, and try to imagine sending a few thousand immigrants back to Guatemala, Honduras, and southern Mexico, passing the virus to each other as they travel so everybody gets home as a COVID-19 carrier. Crazy. But there is some good news.
Okay, go ahead.
There is some good news. This link, covidactnow.org, goes to COVID Act Now, which is a data science, medical science collective that's been put together on the fly by some really top drawer researchers on both ends. They have rapidly put together a statistical model on COVID-19 spread and mortality, not only across the United States, but state by state. And anybody that goes to that link or to covidactnow.org/state/Florida, which will take you directly to the interactive map for Florida, will have their hair standing on end. Because the levels of action that are being taken at this point in the state and the governor not making shelter in place mandatory for everybody, I just encourage, and I will send this to you as an email so you get a chance to look at it and follow up on it for yourself. But DeSantis is condemning up to almost 500,000 people, statistically speaking, right now, to death between now and middle of May.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. So the governor's argument goes like this. He's saying, you know, there are places like Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties, Hillsborough, and Pinellas where it makes sense to have a stay-at-home kind of ordinance. But he doesn't want to apply it statewide because there are some counties who have very few cases, and so they shouldn't be, I don't want to use the word punished, but they shouldn't be have as draconian of restrictions placed on their businesses and travel. That's his argument.
Right. Okay. Now, let me simply pose a counter question. How long does it take to get from Duval County to Miami? Or how long does it take to get from Miami to Duval or, say, Leon County?
Yeah, just a number of hours, right? Especially with the
roads being less crowded. And if you're a carrier, you get out of your car, and within a couple of hours, four people are infected. And the multiplier process starts. So I guess nobody in Miami is related to or knows anybody in Santa Rosa or any of those places, right? And nobody's going to try to go home, especially if they suddenly lose their housing, which this is a great topic, man. This is a fantastic hard-hit topic. And I'm so glad that you got on this. But just, it's idiocy. And excuse me, but it's Republican idiocy, because that's what this is. And it's about the same thing that it's always about, which is putting money over people.
All right. Well, I appreciate your thought-out answer. Thank you, Andrew. Thanks for calling in.
You'll see my email, so those links will be there, and you'll get a chance to look at it for yourself. But I'm promising you, that state map of Florida, you scroll down to the bottom of it, and it gives the mortality and morbidity numbers, and it will make your hair stand straight up. You know, and these people, this is important because this is Florida, okay? This came to me through our fantastic kids at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. The March for Our Lives kids are the ones that are mobilizing nationally and internationally to get the information about this research group out. So it's our kids in Florida, again, being the heroes. Thanks for your time.
All right, thank you for letting us know about that. Thank you, Andrew. And I just want to remind people that you're listening to 88.5 FM, WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. You might also be listening on the WMNF app. And we are going to go back to the phone calls in just a second. I want to read just a little bit more of the news that's happening right now. There's a cruise ship that was passing through the Panama Canal. Four people have died. Others are sick to offload passengers. They want to offload passengers for treatment in Florida, but the governor says that Florida can't treat outsiders right now. Many of the passengers are American or Canadian. He spoke at a news conference this morning in South Florida. He said that the Holland America should send doctors and treat passengers on board. The ship has been searching for a port since leaving South America, and a sister ship picked up the healthy passengers the other day, and the ships are about 3 days from Florida, so that's something that we'll be following this week as it comes. We're going to go back to the phone lines right now. I have a couple people on hold, but let's start with, so hold on if you're calling in right now. Let's go now to Jeff in Newport Richey. Hi, Jeff.
Hi. You always read all, the numbers, how many cases there are, how many deaths there are. How come you never announce how many recoveries there have been?
I don't think that that's on a county-by-county basis that that's available. I might be wrong. I don't think on a county-by-county basis. But for the whole state, I might be able to get that numbers, and I will see if I can, and if I can, I'll add that, but I can't promise you.
Okay. Yeah, because I think that might instill a little hope in people instead of all doom and gloom.
So fair enough. Hope is a good thing. Uh-huh. What do you think that people should be doing right now? Forgetting words like hope and gloom and doom, what action should people be taking?
Well, following the social distancing guidelines, not taking chances, pretty much taking the advice of the officials.
Mostly staying at home?
Of course, yeah. I mean, okay. Except for people who, work in essential jobs, yeah.
All right, I appreciate that, Jeff. I will take that advice, and I will do some research and try to figure out the best way to present that information. Thanks for that input. We're going to go now
Wonderful.
To Karen
Thank you.
And Dunedin. Thank you. Karen and Dunedin. Hi, Karen.
Hi. I do know, they were talking about housing, and there's so many people that are out of work, and it takes so long to get these benefits to them. I have heard of being able to, I tipped my Instacart girl a ridiculous amount of money yesterday, but I think there's got to be a way that we can help these people. They need to be helped by our government. They need to, I just feel it's really hopeless right now for them. My job's still working. I have unlimited overtime right now. So I'm trying to help people in my life that I know that are affected by this.
Yeah, all of a sudden, just out of the blue, we had this emergency where some people are almost not affected financially, and some people are absolutely devastated financially. And it's just, you could go down a block on any street, and it would be every other house would have a different answer to that question. It is a really bizarre kind of way the economy is hurting certain people a lot right now. And, yeah, what can you do for them in the meantime before those checks arrive from the government, before the unemployment insurance kicks in? And so that's why I think people who are doing what you're doing, which is tipping the workers and getting takeout and so forth.
Right. Well, I'm going to, I decided I might as well take advantage of the overtime. So my daughter's one of my children. She's a dental hygienist, and she's out of work. So I'm trying to take, my hairdresser. She's out of work. People that I know, that I can help by doing this, since I'm stuck in the house anyway, and I work from home.
So, well, Karen, thanks so much. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you're listening, and Everyone, I'm talking to everyone now. Be safe, be smart, everyone stay healthy. So thanks for that call, Karen. If you'd like to call in, the number is 813-239-9663, and you can also email us at dj@wmnf.org. There are some other news stories that I can read about today. Not everything has to do with coronavirus. The governor and his wife, Casey, are the proud parents of a baby girl named Mammy. The couple made the announcement this morning on Twitter. First Lady Casey DeSantis tweeted that Mammy was the smallest of their babies, 7 pounds, 4 ounces, and there looks like there's two other children in the family. And everyone's doing well. Also, authorities say a 50-year-old Florida man sprayed the contents from a bottle that was labeled COVID-19 around the door of a Jacksonville business. David Randolph White was arrested yesterday on charge of attempted or threatened use of a weapon of mass destruction. Witnesses told investigators with the Jacksonville Sheriff's Office that the man sprayed the substance and made comments to employees and patrons that they were now infected with COVID-19. In a Facebook post, the agency said a task force quickly identified White and he was questioned and arrested. The business quickly sanitized the area. Well, those are just some of the topics that we're talking about. Also, at the beginning of the show, that there was big news in the world of the Tampa Bay newspapers. Janelle Irwin at Florida Politics and now other outlets are reporting that beginning next week, the Tampa Bay Times will only be printing a paper 2 days a week. The rest of the week, it will be online only. I wonder what you think of that, if you don't mind such a drastic change of topic. But we certainly can keep talking about coronavirus and especially about evictions, if you would like to talk about that and the evictions during the pandemic. Let's go now to another phone call. Kurt from Newcastle, Indiana. Thanks for calling in from Indiana, Kurt.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just going to make a comment about Governor DeSantis' attitude toward people that are at sea that may not be Floridians that are trying to get, you know, to a safe place. He must not understand that there's a lot of people that own property in winter in Florida that aren't Floridians, that, you know, it's just human courtesy to, you know, give them shelter, show them a little common courtesy, considering they're, you know, they're in a position that they can't do anything about. And that, you know, if he really wants to see the value of property in Florida go down, he should probably continue on with that attitude. Because a lot of people, you know, they winter in Florida. They like to retire in Florida. And they probably aren't going to be that inclined to do so if they don't have second-class citizen position right off the get-go.
Let me see if I follow you. Are you talking about how if you're driving in from Louisiana or driving in with New York State plates and you cross the border and there's the into Florida and there's the checkpoints there? I saw the long lines.
That's part of it, but mostly it's the story about the cruise ship where people are sick and dying, you know, and they're due to port somewhere in Florida, but are being told not to come there because, you know, you're not full of Floridians, so, you know, we really don't care about you. You know, that smacks of collective punishment, first of all. Second of all, I don't think that people that have, we'll say, Ohio driver's licenses or Florida, or, you know, they winter in Florida part-time and are there now, that when they get sick, are they going to be turned away from Morton Plant? Because they don't have a driver's license from Florida?
I see where you're going. I don't know the answer to that, of course.
They are to get to the back of the line because they're not a Floridian. I mean, I think his rationale, what I'm trying to say is his rationale faulty on its face, hateful and bigoted, and, you know, par for the course. So.
And, Kurt, are you in Indiana right now or are you in Florida?
I am. I am in Indiana right now. I used to live in Pinellas for a long time. And I listen to your station because I miss it desperately. I live in the wilderness, and there's the voice of reason is sorely missing.
Well, I really appreciate that you listening all the way from Indiana. Thanks so much, and thanks for calling in, Kurt. And the number is 813- Thank you. 813-239-9663. We have an email text from the 813 area code that says, please, everyone, don't forget, for some folks, the rental properties are their source of income. I hope everyone gets help through these social programs. And I think there are some help for people who own properties and might be their tenants might not be able to pay, and they I think the government might be able to help those landlords out as well. This is not a topic I'm an expert on, but I think I've read that in some of the news coverage in the last week or two. So also someone is writing in that, although they might have a typo, they're writing in that one of the websites that was given out by a listener earlier might be infected, but I'm going to check on that because it looks like the person who's writing that now didn't type it correctly. So I'll get to the bottom of that hopefully after the show. So thanks for looking out for everyone. I appreciate that. The number again is 813-239-9663. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa, WMNF.org. It's 12:49 in the afternoon. In about 12 minutes, we'll go to Latino 54 and hear some upbeat music. But right now, we're taking your calls. And the next call is from Nick from Occupy Tampa. Hi, Nick. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, how you guys doing today? But I'm a gig worker. I'm currently dropping off food right now at a hospital of all places, which we should not be allowed to permit to enter, in my opinion. But I feel as a gig worker, I'm making enough money. I'm thriving now that this virus is happening. I stocked up early on all my hippie medicine, my elderberry syrup, my colloidal silver. I'm eating raw garlic right now as we speak, and I'm making enough that I don't have health insurance, nor do I want it. I don't feel like my job is being threatened right now, as long as they don't lock us down even further. But we've had time to prepare for this. And in my opinion, and we're making good enough money that I'm not scared about contracting the virus. I am scared, however, of bringing it home to my family. I have to live with elderly people right now, and I'm worried about bringing the virus home to them. But I don't feel in any way our job is being threatened right now, besides if you're scared of this virus.
Do you work for a company that you'd like to name?
Yeah, I do DoorDash, Grubhub, and Postmates all at the same time.
And because we're hearing today that some people from Instacart are going to go on strike because they're not guaranteed a minimum wage, the legal minimum wage. Now, I get that you, through tips and so forth, you might be able to exceed that, but are you guaranteed any kind of wage?
No, not at all. With Grubhub, if you're on schedule and you don't take deliveries, if there's just nothing that pops up, you get $10 an hour through Grubhub. Some of the other ones, like Uber Eats, you do get paid a small hourly wage if it's not busy enough to take deliveries. But we do rely on customers' tips. So if you want your food fast and your order taken care of, then you need to tip well, especially during this pandemic. I don't accept anything under $10 right now. And we don't have to take any orders. So if you're not tipping, and we can see that before we even accept your order, you need to be taking care of your drivers and making it easy, not asking them to come into a hospital like I'm going to have to walk into now because the customer's not answering. And you need to make it as smooth for your drivers, meet them downstairs of your apartment complex, tip them well, tip them cash if you can, but you're going to have to put some money on the apps too so we can see that your order's worth taking, because I'm not doing this just to... I'm doing it for myself, but I'm also doing it as a service to the community. I love delivering food, but the customers need to make it worthwhile to keep this job and keep us afloat so we can afford to eat the healthy food so we don't have to worry about these viruses and spreading them.
All right. Well, Nick, thanks for that perspective. I appreciate you calling in. Thank you. We're going to go back to the phones. In just a second, I just want to quickly read this email that came in from David. He says, I'm very sad to learn the news about the Tampa Bay Times. I hope they can survive as a going concern in the long run, but it's going to be tough. I will miss the newspapers when they're gone. So this is David referring to the fact that beginning next week, possibly for a limited time, we don't know, but the Tampa Bay Times will only be printed twice a week on Wednesdays and Sundays. So that's pretty huge news that came out today. I mean, you know, those of us who have been following the newspaper industry might have seen something like this coming pretty soon, but it's a big shocker the day it comes out, the day the information comes out. We have Richard from Tampa on the line. You're on the air now, Richard. What's on your mind?
Hey, Sean, I'd like to make a comment to that last caller that called in. If his business is going to discriminate against people because they're not tipping, a tip is something that's given because people want to give it. So that individual needs to wake up. That's like taking advantage of people in times where that guy should be giving his time because he wants to give his time to deliver to people. And then maybe if he showed a little bit of gratitude, the people would reciprocate and put it back in his pocket. But on the next subject, I'd like to comment about the system to do with the eviction and the court system. So I'd like to make a comment to all your callers out there and all the people that are listening, not to panic. The system's going to be so overwhelmed, okay? The government is going to have to step in like the last 12 years when this happened, and they're going to have to make this right to do with the mortgages and the renters and everything. So everybody need not panic. The systems are going to be so overwhelmed that the government's going to have to protect the people. So don't panic. Don't worry. If you owe your landlord a little bit of money and he's not willing to work with you, well, he might pay the price in the long run. So that's about all I got to say.
Yeah, and if you don't mind holding just a second, I agree with that. The very last point you made there about, I think people are going to be reasonable right now, I hope. And I also think that you're right, that if it's just a matter of getting behind on your rent, that you're probably not going to eventually get kicked out. But I think that the anxiety is real if you get that letter that your rent is overdue or your lease is not going to be renewed. And also, one thing you brought up, wouldn't be comforting either. And that's describing what happened 11 or 12 years ago in that housing crisis, because lots and lots and lots of people became homeless during that crisis. So to echo back to that time as a way to keep people calm, I don't know if that'll work, because that was very devastating.
Well,
in the long
run, fear creates panic. I knew a guy that committed suicide back in that time because he owned a bunch of rental properties, and he thought he wasn't going to be able to pay the bank, and he, you know, went in the backyard, and, you know, anyway, he didn't expire, and he was put on life support, so it was traumatic for his family. And people in Indiana ought to be scared to do with this situation. I'll give you an example, and I ain't afraid to tell you this. I'm in the eviction court right now, and I've been there for 3.5 years, and we can't get this resolved to where my landlord will not give me back my deposit and money that I expend on her home before and after Hurricane Irma. And I couldn't get help with anybody back in those times. Okay, I'm just telling you right now, people, do not panic. Do not be afraid. Do not be intimidated. Okay, hold your ground. Hunker down. We'll get over this, okay? Things will get better.
All right, thank you, Richard. I appreciate that call. Sorry to hear about your friend. Let's all be there for each other. Thank you for that call, Richard. Let me read this email that comes from Suzanne. And it says, I used Instacart the other day from Costco. Before I finish reading this, I'm going to give out the number one more time. The number to call in, 813-239-9663. We're going to go back to the phones in just a second. But Suzanne says, I used Instacart the other day from Costco. Costco tacked on a $2 tip fee to my credit card because I'm not sure if these people get money. I also gave the man a cash tip when he delivered my groceries. So that's actually interesting, because that's one of the things that Nick, our previous caller, was recommending, that you cash tip in cash and on the app. But it looks like the thing you're pointing out is that the company added the tip without even asking, which is interesting. But thanks, Suzanne. Thanks for that comment. And we have our next caller. I believe we can hear from John from Bradenton.
Hello.
Hi, John.
Hey, I just wanted to ask you a question. First of all, I want to thank Little Farmers for keeping us working. And then I was wondering if there was any truth to a friend of mine has Facebook. I don't have it. He saw on there that there was a possibility that the governor was going to stop all alcohol sales. Is that true, or do you know any truth to that?
I have not heard anything about that. I haven't heard a rumor about that at all. So, unless you're talking about closing bars.
No.
Okay, no, I haven't heard that.
Okay, good deal. Thank you.
All right, thanks, John. And we have Richard from, I think I already maybe hit Richard. So, Mike and Sefner. Hi, you're on the air. Hi, caller, you're on the air. You're listening to WMNF Tampa, 88.5 FM, and I'm going to go over some of the top stories that we were talking about this hour. We were talking to some attorneys and people from Gulf Coast Legal Services about evictions in the time of the pandemic, and so we heard from them, and we also talked about the Tampa Bay Times going to print on only 2 days a week. Do we have any other callers? Looks like no more callers. I guess Mike dropped off. Richard dropped off. No, we got them. I have one more email before I start so crazy. Karen writes, they can see your history, and if you're a good tipper, it sucks when you deliver groceries and then the customer doesn't give you anything. I did shipped for a little while, and it's not like you're getting a good living wage. So if you want to, your order, tip well. So thank you for that, and I want to thank everyone who called in during this hour. You're listening to 88.5 FM WMNF Tampa. And if you missed any of this show, you can listen back to it on our website, wmnf.org/news. You can also join the conversation on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitter, or Instagram at WMNF News. I want to thank the people who helped out today. Thanks to Miss Julie. Thanks to Rob Lori. Thanks to DT. And to Rick. I'm Sean Canaan. I'll be back next Monday. Stay tuned now for Latino 54 on that's coming up after NPR headlines on WMNF Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota, and Lakeland. Thanks so much for listening.